on a Zoom with me is an incredible woman, and she's going to inspire and educate us, which I think is the theme of the last couple of months. Her name is Dr. Taryn Jacobs, and we're going to be talking about psoriasis. Now, I only know about this because of Kim Kardashian, and I know nothing else about it other than glamorous people get it, and it's fabulous, and you'll probably be rich and happy when you have it. I know she's going to tell us that that's not the truth. Welcome, Dr. Taryn. How are you today?
Hi, Danny. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm very stoked to speak to you to give us some truth about psoriasis. But before we start, tell me a little bit about you. What drove you into medicine?
Right. So, yes, I'm a Pretoria-based specialist dermatologist, and I'm in private practice. I'm also a part-time lecturer at the University of Pretoria. And as a medical dermatologist, I have this huge interest in chronic inflammatory skin disorders. I think that what drew me to medicine was really just, I think, seeing my dad, who's also a doctor, and the how he found his career so rewarding was one of the big driving factors. And then during medical school, I felt very drawn to dermatology when I started attending the clinics. And, you know, we'd often see these patients who are dealing with severe skin conditions like psoriasis or even just severe acne or widespread eczema. And you could see how this had such a profound impact on their quality of life and self-esteem. And then you could also see these patients whose treatments were starting to work and the change that it brings in their lives when it does. And so I realized that, you know, dermatology is such a visual field. It's so rewarding to help those who can visibly see themselves get better. And I wanted to be part of that and to change lives in a meaningful way. And I think you can say the same about medicine, going into medicine in general as well.
No, I'm sure you, because you're helping, you're genuinely helping every single day. Dr. Taryn, what does it take to become a specialist dermatologist? I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone and asked them how long, what it is, what we need, where we go.
Right. Okay. So you need to do your undergraduate medical training. So you do your training through a university. It's at different universities. It's different amounts of years. So I studied for 6 years to become a doctor. And then, of course, you need to go through internship, which is 2 years, community service, which is another year. I'm speaking in years and it's sounding a bit scary, but it's all worth it. From there on, you can either become a general practitioner, GP, or you can choose to specialize in a field of your choice. And dermatology takes another 4 years as a postgraduate. And during that time, you are training, you're working in derm, you are also doing some exams as well. And then you can specialize as a dermatologist. Wow. So in short, a bit of a long road to specialize, but, you know, if you have a passion for it, that time passes anyway, it's all worth it.
Okay. So let's talk about psoriasis. What is it? And, you know, cause I think like a lot of us, I think like I only know of it because of Kim Kardashian, right? And that's very embarrassing to say. But when it's not your lived reality, it's not your lived reality.
Yeah.
And then you see someone with it and you don't think twice about it. You think, oh, well, I mean, if she has it, she's fine. It's cool. She's still doing all of the things. It's not that bad. But what is it actually?
Right. So, and I'm glad you brought that up about Kim Kardashian. I think that brings great awareness that she speaks so openly about it.
Yeah.
So what it is, it's an immune mediated disease that causes inflammation in the body. So you can think of inflammation as simply a collection of immune cells that are trying to put out a fire almost.
Okay.
So this overactive immune system speeds up the life cycle of your skin cells. And it causes them to reproduce more quickly than what they should. And this results in what we see on the skin of psoriasis, which are raised, reddened, what we call plaques that are scaly. And it can show up anywhere in the body, but we most commonly see it on the lower back, elbows, knees, sometimes palms and soles, and on the scalp. But I think the big message is it's more than just a skin condition and a nuisance. This inflammation that we see that causes psoriasis can actually impact other organs in the body. For example, 1 in 3 people with psoriasis can also develop psoriatic arthritis. So this is important to treat early to prevent permanent joint damage as well.
Wow. Okay. But you said it's an immune response. So what causes that immune response?
Well, the exact cause of psoriasis is unknown, but there's no doubt that genetics can play a role. And we see that it certainly can run in families. So in these genetically susceptible people, there are common triggers for psoriasis. And this includes things like stress, illness, particularly infections, injury to the skin where you hurt your skin, and certain medications as well. What we're seeing a lot now is cold weather can also cause psoriasis flares, just because there's less sunlight as well.
Oh, again with the sunlight. You see, everyone is telling us about the sunlight, and I don't think any of us are listening. Sunlight.
So good for psoriasis, not so good for skin cancer, so be careful out there.
What about sunlight with sunblock? Is that good?
Absolutely. Sunblock, daily sunscreen, I like that, Danny. That is okay. Definitely the way to go.
Good, because I avoid the sun because I like to believe that I'm a vampire. But I do hear that it's actually quite good for you. So I will now be lathering myself in sunblock and going outside shortly after this. All the vitamin D.
Yes,
is there a cure? Because as far as I could see watching the Kardashians and listening to you speak, it doesn't sound like there's a cure.
Yeah. So right now there is no cure for psoriasis, but some patients can get long remissions with some of the treatments. Other treatments keep the psoriasis essentially completely controlled, other times completely clear. And there are a variety of treatments that we have. You have topical medications. These are applied directly to the skin. So typically this is your first line of defense when we're treating psoriasis, and things like topical steroids can be used. Then you have light therapy, which we call phototherapy. And then there are also tablet options. And this works throughout the body, often to suppress the immune system. What is really exciting, though, over the last few years it's been a major advance, really, in the treatment of psoriasis, are these medications, which we call biologics. And this is really giving us potent treatments that are safe. And biologics are different from traditional systemic drugs that impact the entire immune system, because they only target specific parts in the immune system. And they're given by injection usually. So that's a viable option for people with moderate to severe psoriasis, and giving a lot of people hope.
I wonder what that must be like, though, to get something or to have something and know that there's nothing you can do really until a cure is found. Are people positive? Dr. Taryn, are you positive that there could be one in the future, do you think?
I think, you know, the way medicine is evolving and the fact that we're seeing just a lot more understanding about the condition, there are new biologic drugs coming out very often and being tested and trialed. So definitely, and that's something that I give my patients hope about, you know, it's evolving understanding. So, and, you know, a lot of treatments available can, as I said, it can induce long-term remissions and really control it well.
Okay. So you can live a quote unquote normal life, even if you have it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly more than a skin disease, you know. Psoriasis can come with an impressive impact on your quality of life if it's not treated appropriately and properly. And I think that we have a lot of things to address. Like, there are a lot of misconceptions and there's misinformation that's related to psoriasis or any skin condition that is red and flaky. a lot of people will see this rash and assume that it's something infectious and contagious. And that can be extremely isolating, ostracize those affected. We see that with social engagement, work, feelings of embarrassment. These are just some of the things that people with visible diseases deal with. And this is why there's this hidden burden of skin diseases like psoriasis, and it's so tremendous. So it's important really not only to help those affected understand what it is, but also to expand awareness so that everyone understands what psoriasis is and what it is not. And I think that will create an environment and a community that can support individuals with this condition.
You spoke a little bit earlier about what's happening beyond the skin. What happens in the body when someone is diagnosed with psoriasis?
Right. So it is a multi-system condition that requires a multi-system approach. So we think of it as a systemic inflammatory condition. And people with psoriasis have been shown to have an increased risk for other conditions, such as depression, such as heart disease, stroke, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, even inflammatory bowel disease. So that awareness needs to be there. And these conditions should really be investigated as appropriate.
Okay. First things first, why is it important? Because I've also read somewhere that the disease could lead to things like anxiety and depression, which I think you definitely touched on, because when you have it, kind of scary. I would be afraid to show people. I would be nervous in public, in case people think that they could get it, right? But you've spoken about all of the different aspects of inner and outer skin and beyond the skin. Why then is it important to treat it as holistically as opposed to a skin condition only?
Yeah, so I mean, just touching on that with regards to anxiety and depression, and we're definitely seeing this growing interest in research how the body affects the mind and vice versa. And this is particularly true in the area of inflammatory diseases like psoriasis. So actually, with regards to depression, research shows that people with psoriasis are at least 1.5 times more likely to have depression. But studies also strongly suggest that when your skin disease improves with treatment, patients also have a concurrent improvement in their mood symptoms. So it's very important to treat this condition properly and get that proper care.
Dr. Sharon, this wasn't one of the questions that I sent you earlier, but I wanted to know, I see a lot on Instagram about immune diets and eating for your immune system. Could that help, or is that just a fad?
So when it comes to psoriasis, there's really not enough data currently to make any firm recommendations with regards to diet. It's not something that we commonly look, we need to give evidence-based guidelines and medicine advice, right? So there's just not enough data to say. I think perhaps in the next coming years, there'll be some firm recommendations. But in terms of diet and psoriasis, it's actually just more important to get the right medical treatment.
Okay, valid. Thank you for answering that question. Okay, how would I know if I had it? What am I looking for?
Right. So just to go back to what it looks like. So what we see is these raised, reddened, what we call plaques, or areas on the skin that are scaly. Just be aware that in darker skin types, it can present more of a purple or grayish color, or even darker brown. It's hard to sometimes appreciate the redness. And then the typical areas will be on the back, elbows, knees, sometimes on the scalp. If people have like a really scaly scalp with this underlying redness. I think the most important thing is not to self-diagnose, self-treat. And if you suspect that you may have psoriasis, then go see a dermatologist. We are the specialists, the experts when it comes to anything skin, hair, and nails. And usually for a dermatologist, it is just an easy clinical diagnosis, which means we can look at the skin and see, okay, this is what it is. If there's any doubt, then sometimes a small skin biopsy may be necessary to exclude other conditions.
Okay. So I think I have it. I've Googled, I vaguely have an idea, but I could also just be dying according to Google.
What it looks like. Yeah. That's the danger of Dr. Google, as they say.
What now? I think I have it way too from here.
Yeah. So definitely check in with your dermatologist. And I'm very aware that not everyone has access to dermatologists, but a general practitioner should be able to diagnose and manage mild psoriasis. And when I say mild psoriasis, medically we say that there's less than 5% of your body's surface area being affected. So just a few plaques here and there. But it will definitely be worth seeing a dermatologist if there are many plaques, many skin areas affected, because the way we approach treatment really just depends on how severe your psoriasis is. Is it mild or moderate or severe? But also depending on what comorbidities that we spoke about are present. Mm. So does the person have psoriatic arthritis? Then a rheumatologist will need to be involved.
Okay. Where could we go to get in contact with you or find more information? Support groups, maybe. I don't know. Where should we go?
So I think a really good place to start is the Dermatology Society of South Africa's website. And so that's derma.co.za, derma. And there you will find a patient information center, not only on psoriasis, but other common skin conditions as well. And you will also have a link to find a dermatologist in your area. So I think that's a good place to start. You know, any dermatologist will be able to manage and treat psoriasis. And well, I'm based at Eugene Marais Hospital. That's where my rooms are.
Okay. And how do we get in contact with you, Dr. Taryn, if someone wants to get in contact with you because they've now decided that they like you and you're the one?
Okay. So I think I'll give my website. It's www.pretoriadermatology.co.za because that's an easy one. Awesome. And actually, I've got some information on psoriasis and a lot of other medical skin conditions there. So I did a lot of time to put something comprehensive together there. So please give it a read. I hope that it's helpful to the general public.
Dr. Taryn, one last question. I'm sorry, I keep asking questions that we didn't pre-approve, but how can I, as someone who doesn't have psoriasis, show up for maybe a family member that's just been diagnosed?
That's such a great question. And I think it relates to a lot of visible skin conditions, not just psoriasis. I think that it starts with encouraging people, your family member, friends, to get proper treatment. It's very frustrating sometimes to see that conditions like psoriasis, be it eczema or acne, that is so treatable, and people tend to turn to all sorts of misinformation sources like social media. Yeah. You mentioned the social media and Instagram and TikTok. I mean, there are some good reputable people on there. I'm on Instagram and I love sharing information, just making it more accessible. But there's also a lot of nonsense there. Yeah. So instead of, following all everyone else's advice, see your medical practitioner and encourage that family member to get a proper diagnosis and treatment plan.
Yeah.
Recognize that a lot of these skin conditions like psoriasis has a significant impact on a person's self-esteem, confidence, quality of life in general, and be there to support that person. I think just creating that awareness that it's definitely more than skin deep. I know that there is now this campaign, literally more than skin deep campaign with regards to psoriasis, and just creating that awareness that this is something that extends beyond the skin. And that is really helpful.
Dr. Taryn Jacobs, thank you so much for your time. This has been incredibly informative for me, and I hope that it has been for someone else. Thank you for the work that you do, and hopefully we can chat again soon.
I would love that. Thank you for having me, Dani. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.